Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Chwaba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who likes to talk trash, but only when he's at the dump, Pete Chwaba.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Intermission is over. It is time for Act 2 of this Wednesday edition of Nightlight with Pete Chwaba. So great to have you here tonight, folks. We are doing the things we love to do. Talk about movies and TV, comedy festivals like we did just a moment ago with our pal Greg Bach. Greg was a great guy. Greg's always fun to have on the show.
Yeah.
With or without the beard and the hair. He looks good.
Yes, he does.
That's fantastic. If you missed the first hour, I don't know what to tell you, folks. You can find the podcast at civicmedia.us because we had a lot of fun. We talked about how I let a wasp land on my jugular, and I do not subscribe to the don't swat away a wasp. If a wasp stings you in the jugular, you're going to the ER.
I agree.
All right, as long as I have a medical opinion. Thank you, Conrad.
You're welcome.
And you missed me give the worst segue in radio history. I don't know how I did that, but I made it happen, folks. Our question of the night is, what celebrity has the worst hair? We're a little backed up on text, but keep them coming. I promise I will get to them, and we will read those soon. Also, in just a few minutes, I'm going to give you folks the keyword to our Go for the Green and Gold Text to Win multi-state contest that we are doing here at Civic Media. We love our contest. It's happening through this Friday, and this is a great one. All you need is to have the app to play, and I'm going to give you the keyword in about 10 minutes. You text that keyword in on the app. And you are eligible for $200 cash and gold jewelry. I said and, not or. This money will burn a hole in your pocket, and you'll have some gold jewelry on top of it. And that will automatically enroll you and make you eligible for our grand prize, which are two club-level indoor seats to Green Bay versus Minnesota. That's professional football, ladies and gentlemen. We're not messing around. The kidding around is pretty much over. It's a Green Bay home game on November 23rd at 12 noon. You will also get a gas card to cover your gas money to and from the game. It's over $1,500 in value. Great stuff. All you need is the app. Text in the keyword when I give it in a few minutes. And then when we send you a confirmation text, click on that link and sign up for Civic Media Today, the Civic Media newsletter, some of our socials, and you will have a heightened chance to win. So it's all good stuff. Good luck, everybody. The keyword is coming in just a few minutes. And at 7:35, local actor, Northeast Wisconsin-based actor Dan Davies will be here discussing his big night of awards that is coming up this weekend. It's a great night. It's the NIFA, that's National Independent Film Association Awards. Dan will be here discussing the event, and director Michael Seibel will join us too. But right now, Conrad, can you tell I'm excited?
I think so.
You know who's coming on the show right now, right?
I do.
We've got her. And she can't back out now because I see her on the stream. She's joining us live from Madison over the stream, the station manager of WMDX here in Madison, and a catalyst in getting Nightlight on the air, which for that I'm always grateful. Catherine Lake joins us now. Hey, Catherine. Oh, I think you're muted. That could be a fun thing. We could have a guest on and just mute them and see if I can figure out what they're saying. That would be a lot of fun. Oh, no. Call us. Yeah. You want to give Catherine a call?
I will.
Stay on the stream, Catherine, so we can see you. I want to see Catherine's facial expressions when I tell her things. All right. On the stream, Sydney Politics said, Sydney sent in a voicemail so we knew how to pronounce Mu Zedong. I don't know, but that's a response to our bad hair question. So we'll see if we can find that, Sydney. Thank you for expanding on your choice tonight for our question. Brett from Brown Deer, he's in the 920. Well, Brown Deer isn't, but Brett, his phone is. He says, if you consider Trump a celebrity, he has the worst, if not, I'll say David Lee Roth. I assume we're going to get a lot of Trump. The guy has horrible hair. There's no way around that. So I kind of thought maybe we'd get a lot of Trump hair votes, but you know, maybe some people love his hair. I don't know. All right, we've got Catherine on the phone now, Con.
Yeah.
Hey, there you are.
Sorry, I tested it like at 6:30. I'm like, I'm just going to go into pop into StreamYard and make sure I can get in the room. And I did, and I heard everything, but you couldn't hear me. I'm sorry.
Well, that's okay. That happens once in a while, and it's still nice that you're on the stream so we can see you while you're talking on the phone. It's great to have you here. How are you?
It's very verite. I'm fine, thank you. I'm on my second Manhattan. I'm very tired. You know, I get up with the morning guys, John and Gordy.
Yeah.
So this is like late night for me. It's like being on the late show.
Listen.
Because you are like being on the late show.
Yeah. We our show has moved earlier over the last couple of years. John and Gordy moved early. They're on like, what, 2 to 5 now or something crazy.
Like 2 a.m. they start. It's crazy.
I say just keep going with the Manhattans and then get a nap. And then go help out with the show.
I'm good. But I have answers for you because I've been listening all morning. The Dexter resurrection, I really want to press back on that. Really? Seriously? When is it enough with the Dexter?
Well, I'll tell you what's enough. I didn't watch the one where they followed him as a kid. Didn't need to see that. But I am fascinated by the character, and I don't know. I just got into it, and I can't let it go.
Okay. All right. I'll do it. Worst haired celebrity, Russell Brand, hands down. Conrad, read my mind.
Well
and
done.
Johnny Depp. Add Johnny Depp to it.
Yeah, he's got crazy kind of, his hair's always 30. Different though, right?
It is, but his default, you know, in cameos, not cameos, you know, candids, he's dirty.
You know what ticks me off, Catherine, is most of us, as human beings, we need our hair to make ourselves look presentable. We're not good looking
1,000%.
Enough.
1,000%. Yeah.
And like, there's people like River Phoenix or Johnny Depp or, you know, whoever, Angelina Jolie. They can do whatever they want with their hair because they're beautiful people. Most of us can't get by on that. We need our hair. So.
Yeah. No, it's aggravating. Well, good news is you've got the hair. Look at you. You've got a full head of hair.
I'm doing great. You're like, up like here and then the rest of the way down, it's a train wreck. But the hair, okay, I'll take the compliment. Hey, so are you not a Dexter fan? Is that what you're telling me? Or are you just...
Oh, I loved the first series. I did. But when it came back, I just thought, oh, and I think I gave it a try. And it was just, yeah, okay. I've seen this one before.
I'm kind of with you. I don't love it anymore, but I'm just kind of hooked and I have to see what they do.
Yeah. You know? Oh, yeah. I mean, come on. Hook is absolutely their middle name.
Absolutely. Yeah. All right. So, hey, this is fun. And I want to thank you. This is the reason we have you on here tonight is so you could tell us about your great idea to screen The Godfather of Green Bay in Madison.
Thank you for crediting me with this idea because I have not seen the film. And I thought, what better way than just make him screen it in my town?
Oh, dear. You have not seen the film yet?
I haven't.
Oh, wow. Okay.
I'm deliberately waiting. I was going to many different times. And I kept thinking, I don't know. I'm going to see it in a big screen. I really do.
I am
with
so
other people.
Yeah, I'm excited. I haven't screened it in years, and it's a fun movie. It's a fun movie to watch with a group. So, you know, the Atwood Music Hall, I think, is a perfect venue. Jenna Emmert is working on that. And we have to pick a charity, though.
We do. And I'm going to probably push back on you and tell you what it is, but I'm not going to tell you tonight because I want to make sure that you actually don't mind.
Okay.
But I think we know what we're going to do. But yeah, we're going to find somebody that's going to benefit from these ticket prices, and they're going to be very low ticket prices. That's our goal, is to get butts in seats. December 4th, Atwood Music Hall. They have about 350 seats, so it should be fun.
Here's an idea.
I'm still bouncing it around. I need your help with this, Pete. I want to do a premium VIP ticket with a talk back beforehand.
Okay.
You get to meet with Pete and say, what the heck were you thinking? I saw this film when it was in the theater so many years ago. I didn't think. And a couple of drink tickets, which will help with those questions. And maybe some swag from the movie. Do you have some, like, posters or something?
I think I might still have some posters.
It was so long. Dig in the closet.
Yeah, let me look. Let me find that out. And it's good that people are going to meet me before they see the movie because...
They won't want to stick around after, is that what you're saying?
This might start wailing on me. I don't know. No, I'm kidding. I'm game for whatever. I think it's going to be fun. The Atwood Music Hall. I have not been there yet. Have you seen the facility? It's supposed to be beautiful.
Oh, it's stunning. Yes, it's all wood, but it has this great baffling. It's wonderful sound. And the guy who owns it, Topher, also runs the Burr Oak around the corner. And so it's just a well-thought-out, great venue. Two bars, downstairs and upstairs. There's an upstairs. There's a balcony in this place. It's just beautiful.
Wow.
Just beautiful. December 4th.
December 4th.
So put it in your calendars. Yeah, we've got that booked. Now, I have some questions for you. I'm going to take over this interview. You ready?
Yeah, go for it.
I asked AI. I said, I'm going to go on Pete Schwab's show, and I haven't seen his damn film, and I need to ask him about this film. So here are the AI questions. Are you ready?
Okay.
We need the origin story. What was the very first spark that led you to write The Godfather of Green Bay? Was there a real person or experience that inspired it?
Yes, that's a great question.
Come on, AI.
Yeah, I'll tell you what happened. Okay, so I moved to L.A. in fall of 97. I'm there a month, and I get cast in a show with Jim Gaffigan. We're the two leads on a VH1 pilot called Laugh Tracks, where I played a VJ and he played the producer. And it got picked up, and they were going to buy 13 episodes. And I was like, this showbiz stuff is easy. You know, I'm having a blast. And then a week later, Jim leaves a message on my machine, and I call him back, and I go, what, did the show get canceled already? Like, we only shot the pilot. And he goes, yeah, it did.
No.
So I'm ready to, like, move back to Chicago. I didn't realize at the time this happens all the time, you know. Yeah. So I was kind of depressed. So I sat down, and I wrote about the two things I know about. My wife is a teacher. I know stand-up comedy. I know I played a lot of big rooms, but, you know, when you're getting your chops, you work all these tiny rooms. So I kind of married those two worlds. I love Wisconsin characters and small-town bar characters, and there are a ton of those in this movie. So I just wrote about what I knew.
Oh, that's beautiful. What a great answer, too.
Yeah, tip of my hat to AI.
Wisconsin DNA. The second question is about that Wisconsin DNA that's in it. The film is deeply rooted in Wisconsin culture. How important was it for you to reflect authentic small-town Midwest life versus just leaning into caricature?
Well, that is a great question. And honestly, almost, I will say this, Catherine, almost every line out of one of the characters in the bar is a line I heard. So this is honest to God, based on my experiences, showing up at a roadside bar to do a show. You meet the local MC who thinks he's the funniest guy in the world because he's doing local jokes that would never translate anywhere else. Thomas Lennon. Thomas Lennon plays that character. Eric Price, Milwaukee actor. We hit a home run in Milwaukee with actors, and they were great. So, yeah, it's very authentic. A lot of the lines are kind of as I heard them, to be honest with you.
It's like AI's listening, because the third question is exactly along those lines. The casting choices. You pulled together a memorable cast. Lauren Holly, Tony Goldwyn, and of course yourself. How did you convince Hollywood folks to sign on to a very Wisconsin comedy?
I didn't really have to, you know, we had pretty good luck when we sent the script out to make offers to people. I know Leah Thompson was attached at one point. That fell through because of another project. And we had Putty from Seinfeld was originally going to be Big Jake, the godfather, the actual godfather, the title character. But I remember now how we got Lauren Holly. There was an agent called Sarah Raymaker who was from Milwaukee. And I don't know if she saw me in a comedy club or whatever, but she recognized my name. And she said, hey, read this. It's funny, to Lauren, who was at her agency. And that's how we got Lauren Holly. So Tony Goldwyn, we added last minute because Patrick Warburton bowed out of the project. So the producer, Brian Eddy, hands me the phone. He goes, Tony Goldwyn wants to do the role. So I was talking to Tony Goldwyn on the phone. He was on a plane the next day. It was maddening. All right, we have to do a quick break. This is fun, Catherine.
Yeah,
Catherine Lake is here.
From AI.
Yeah, Catherine and AI are here. We'll have a few more minutes with our pal, Catherine Lake from WMDX here at Civic Media. Coming up next, it's Pete Schwab and Nightlight. Welcome back. This is Pete Schwab and Nightlight. Great to have you here, folks, on this Wednesday night. I am prepared to give you the keyword. I got so caught up talking about my own movie, I forgot to give you the keyword before the break, but we'll do that now. It's our multi-state text to win contest. Go for the green and gold that we do here at Civic Media. We always have fun with our contests, and I know you guys are having fun with it too. The keyword for tonight, I've been talking incessantly about the contest tonight, Conrad. It's one of favorites. It's one of Conrad's favorite words. Beer. B-E-E-R. Beer is tonight's keyword. B-E-E-R. So text that in on the app And be sure you click the link, the confirmation link, and sign up for Civic Media Today, the newsletter, sign up for our socials, and you will enhance your chances to win. Good luck, everybody. So much fun. My friend Catherine Lake is here. She is the station manager at WMDX in Madison here on the Civic Media Network. She works with our pals John and Gordy and does a great job down there in Madison. We're talking about a screening we're going to have December 4th for a film I made called The Godfather of Green Bay. And she is peppering me with questions via AI, and it's it's a lot of fun.
It's really good. I can't believe AI got it so well.
Yeah, there's a reason we're all freaked out about this.
Yes! to this next one. Can I go with number four?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, on-set shenanigans. Every indie film has at least one legendary disaster story. What was yours? You won't believe what happened during filming moment.
Wow, I would have to think about it. I will say that we shot in a bar, and we shot during the day. No, we shot at night, and we would finish around 3 a.m., and then they would just keep the bar open. And I was the director, so I was out of there and trying to get some sleep and planning the next day. But as I understand it, the cast and crew had a blast. They went to a strip club one night. They went to karaoke. They just really bonded, and it sounded like they had a great time. I had a great time, too, but I was more focused on making the movie. I have to think about.
I can't imagine. I don't understand how you make films and television. I really don't. I was a PA briefly for one show, one show, and I'm like, yeah, I'm doing this. 18-hour days without fail.
Yeah. Well,
that makes no sense to me.
You reminded me of something. Okay, when Lauren Holly got to the set, her trailer was right behind a different trailer, and we shot out at this bar out in Menominee County in Menominee, Michigan, and it was like a slaughterhouse. So she showed up, and her view out of her trailer was like dead cow carcasses or something like that. So that was minor drama.
Shenanigans, that worked.
Yeah, but everything fell into place. It was really fun.
All right, next question, number five from AI,
okay.
Wearing multiple hats. You wrote this film. You directed this film. You starred in this film. What was the hardest part of being your own boss while also being your own employee?
Oh, that's interesting. Directing myself, to be honest with you, it was that was really interesting because about 2 weeks before we were supposed to shoot, I was still trying to scrape the money together. And so I was fundraising, trying to direct and trying to learn my lines and all that kind of stuff. And I said to the producer, Brian Etting, I said, I think we should just see if we can get an actor to play the lead. Like, let's go for John Cusack and see what he says or something.
Why not?
And he was going to strangle me. And he goes, it's too late. We can't. You're doing this. And I was really stressed out. But ultimately, I'm glad I did it. But that might have hurt us on the distribution end because I wasn't a big name, even though we had big names in it. But it was fun. It worked out, you know.
Big names are not always necessary. It apparently did quite well, was very well received.
Yeah, it was okay. We've got a cult following, I suppose. And I was able to get it on some streaming platforms about 3 years ago. So I get a check for 3 cents every 2 years. So.
They all add up. You just keep cashing those checks, mister.
Yeah. I've already got it spent.
All right, question number six.
Okay.
From AI. Indie filmmaking then versus now. If you were making The Godfather of Green Bay today,
oh, wow.
Nearly, 20 years later?
Yeah.
What would be completely different?
The lead actor, I would probably cast someone else in my role that had a little more of a Q rating, I suppose. That's about the only thing I would do. Maybe have some more money, you know, because you have to do things on the fly, which is kind of strange. Like we had a different bar to have as the exterior of the comedy bar, and we just ran out of time, so we had to use this kind of eyesore of a bar. But the interior was beautiful, but the exterior was just sort of a casualty of the shoot. Catherine, I think you're muted again, Catherine. But we. Catherine Lake is my guest, folks. Check out the John and Gordy Show every morning on WMDX, or you can listen online at civicmedia.us. We kind of have to go anyway, Catherine, but can we do this again in like a month and kind of keep people updated as we get closer to the screening? Would that work? Okay, fantastic. Catherine is saying yes. We have a bit of a technical difficulty. This was really fun. Thank you very much for being on the show. We will do this again. Just keep drinking those Manhattans. Do it all the way through the morning show and tell the guys I said hello. This has been so much. She's toasting. Thank you very much, Catherine Lake. Outstanding stuff. Cannot wait for this screening. It's going to be so much fun. Coming up in just a few minutes, Dan Davies and director Michael Seibel will be here talking about the National Independent Film Association Awards. Brian from Green Bay says, let me read her lips and guess what she says. Radio bronze.
It's not gold.
It's not gold. That's great. Gordy Young from Madison listening. Pete, will you please consider playing a couple of Three Stooges shorts or Popeye cartoons before The Godfather of Green Bay? You know, to warm up the crowd. Just a thought. Gordy Young. Love Gordy and love John. Check their show out on WMDX or at civicmedia.us. Steve from Florida, Conrad's dad, checking in, says, any male celebrity that wears their hair in a bun. Come on, man. Get a haircut. Conrad, I think you got to do that next time you see your folks. Please, you know, have a man bun.
I did during COVID. I did have a man bun.
All right. We are coming right back to talk more about Conrad's man bun and talk about a really cool event coming up. It's Peach Wabba and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network. Welcome back. Great to have you with me, folks. I'm Pete Schwabe. This is Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network. We are broadcasting statewide here from beautiful downtown Green Bay. Gordy Young from the 608 also says, mention Wisconsin's Bodine's doing music for the film. Yes. That's a great reminder, Gordy. The film we were just talking about with Catherine, The Godfather of Green Bay, Kurt Newman wrote a score, and we used a lot of Bodine songs. That was a lot of fun. I'm going to try to get Kurt out there on the 4th. I don't know how big of an order that will be as he lives in Austin, Texas, but we'll see what we can do. And where else are we here? Daniel Wheeler, Danny Wheels, a friend of my next guest, Dan Davies, says, when my son told me he was thinking of getting a mullet haircut, I replied, unless you are pitching for a Major League Baseball team, you are not. So only if you're rich, apparently. I think that's Daniel's message to his son. Rich Tallarico, our pal who wrote, I always have to say the sketch because it's so great, the substitute teacher sketch on Key and Peele, says, Dr. Phil. Yeah, that's some good hair, Rich. Well done. Chad Fran says, does Peach Wabba count? I do not. I'm not a celebrity, Chad, but thank you. Then Chad followed that up with, or you could say what celebrity has the best hair. And, of course, I would say Peach Wabba. Wow, that's very kind. It's all downhill after the hair, but, yeah, thanks. And then finally, Sean Boyce, my pal from Marinette, says, the Cheeto Benito himself, Taco Don, walking around repping the free world with a dead animal resting on his grape. He says, what is that? Trump's got bad hair, but you know what? There's probably some people that love it. I think it's pretty bad hair. I've never heard the word grape used to describe a scalp, though. So thank you for that, Sean. Great stuff, everybody. Once again, our keyword tonight, folks, is beer. B-E-E-R. Beer. Have fun with the Text to Win contest, and good luck, everybody. All right, we got to keep things moving here because this night is going by very quickly. It's my pleasure to welcome back to the show, kind of a frequent flyer here at Nightlight. He is a Northeast Wisconsin-based actor, and he's a busy guy. Film festivals, Giant Spider Invasion remakes, and now somehow Dan Davies has found a way to host or put on the National Independent Film Association Awards, the 7th annual, and it's at the Appleton Beer Factory at 7 p.m. this Saturday, October 4th. Compliments of the Green Bay Film Festival. You get all that right down.
Yeah, thank you.
Welcome,
by the
buddy.
Way,
yeah,
hello,
welcome.
Conrad.
It's great to
hello,
have you here.
Pete. How are you guys? We're super excited. It's our 7th annual, and we're at the Appleton Beer Factory, and now we're going to be partnered up with the Green Bay Film Festival, Film Green Bay Inc., as our fiscal receiver for 2026. So we're super excited about that.
How on earth
Excuse me.
You know, I see how busy you are, and you're always trying to get new projects going, and you're like a really busy guy. How do you find time? What made you want to do this, and how do you make it work?
That's a great question. First of all, I don't sleep.
Yeah. You came know, in here like you hadn't eaten in 3 days. You wolfed down like two donuts.
Yeah, the quick trip donuts. Yeah.
That helps.
And they're awesome, by the way, banana and cream flavored.
You owe us $4.50, by the way. You're welcome.
But I guess, you know, for me, it was always like before my films got onto Netflix or Hulu or whatever, people would be like, hey, Dan, where can I see your films? And so I thought about 7-8 years ago, I thought it'd be kind of fun to have my own film festival. So I crafted this National Independent Film Association and made the National NIFA Awards. And then I reached out to, I did a film with Tom Sizemore and Neil McCoy. And I said, would you, if I gave you an award, would you accept it? And they did, they accepted. And I was, that was just amazing. And then I thought, I know somebody who knows Sean Connery's manager in London. And so I reached out to her and said, you know, would Sean Connery be honored to win this NIFA Lifetime Achievement Award? And she's like, I'm not sure, basically. you know, but then I kind of weaseled my way and I said, well, send him the information. At that time, he's living in the Bahamas with his wife, Micheline, and he accepted.
Wow.
The award, the NIFA Lifetime Achievement Award winner.
Did he come here to Appleton?
No. Okay. By this time, he was within 6 months of shuffling off to Buffalo.
Oh, dear.
So, yeah. Okay. But he was excited for it. He said, thank you. And it was an honor. And his wife kind of was a mouthpiece, basically, on top of that. And, yeah, so he was our first NIFA Lifetime Achievement Award winner. So it's called the Connery Award in his honor.
Oh, I love it. Oh, that's so great. Dan Davies is here, folks, Northeast Wisconsin-based actor, and apparently the founder of a film festival. I learn something new about Dan every time he's on the show. But let's bring in, we have another guest here who is to be honored at this year's NIFA Festival, and I'll let you introduce this wonderful director.
Michael Seibel has been a good friend of mine for over 15 years, and I've asked him the last couple years. He's been a Hollywood stalwart since about 1976, 1977. And his films have done pretty close to almost $400 million worth of total box office.
Wow.
And as a director and a major crew behind a lot of these films. And I pitched him one time. I said, would you like this award? And he said, you know, no.
like a true friend?
Yeah. And then I said, no, I'm serious. You're very deserved, and I think you'd be amazing for it. And he said, yeah. So he acquiesced, and he's now our 7th annual Connery NIFA Lifetime Achievement Award winner.
That's pretty cool. Let's bring him on right now. Michael Seibel joining us now from Parts Beyond. Hi, Michael.
Hey, good to be on the show.
It's great to have you here, and are you coming into Appleton? Will you be here in person?
Absolutely.
Great.
I really was honored that when Dan asked me the first maybe 3 years of the NIFA Awards, and I had to do my hair, and I think I'm the first. I think I'm the first award winner that actually has his own hair still. And
history will be made. That's
and of
true.
Course, the number and in the Bible, 7 is the number of perfection. So when Dan asked me, I was more than honored to accept, and I'm looking forward to it this Saturday night.
That's outstanding. Will this be your first time in Wisconsin, Michael, or have you been here?
Oh, my goodness. I was born in Madison.
Oh, nice. Okay.
And raised in Wausau. I'm editing a book right now that is going to be published in March of 2026. It's a memoir of growing up in Wausau. And I've always been from here. And then when I was about, 20, I moved to Los Angeles. I finished college at UCLA and in the film school. And I was out there for many, many years. But I did move back here to raise my kids and be with living grandparents for my kids about 15 years ago now. So I am a total cheesehead.
we were on the same timeline there because that's about, we came back a little bit after that. Are you in Wausau right now?
No, I'm in Appleton.
Oh, in Appleton,
And we moved from Wausau in the middle of my junior year of high school. Wausau was becoming a little depressed, a recession or whatever you want to call it. And my dad was an architect, and when you're not building buildings, you've got to find greener pastures. So we definitely moved over here.
My guests are Dan Davies, Wisconsin-based actor, and an honoree of his big event coming up this weekend, the NYFA Awards. Michael Seibel, a director who has worked with some really great talent. Michael, I wanted to ask you, you worked with Peter O'Toole, James Garner, Brian Dennehy, and Amy Garcia, an actress a lot of people might not know. I think she's outstanding. Who have been some of the best people you've worked with as far as you're concerned?
Well, you've named a few already. Let's go with Omar Sharif. You mentioned Abigail Breslin was phenomenal. She had already done a movie that was in the can when I worked with her. It was called Little Miss Sunshine, but it wasn't out yet. And she was a phenom. And I've worked with a lot of people. Michael Biehn, honored to work with him. He was at one time in, the first Terminator.
Yeah.
Aliens, The Abyss.
He was a parent at our school. He was a fellow parent. Very nice guy. Very soft-spoken guy. I don't know him, but I mean, we nodded each other. But yeah, he's done some really cool movies.
When I occasionally speak at a school, I'm going, well, if I'm at a grade school, they want to know how much I made. if I'm in a junior high to a high school, they want to know if I know any famous people.
Right.
And then after that, they want to know, how do you get an agent? How do you get distribution? That is always there. And so, there's a very evolutionary scale of what kind of questions people ask.
Dan, have you guys worked together? Have you and Michael worked together?
So he's worked with a step cousin of mine, John Rhys Davies, who played Sela in Indiana Jones. So the Davies people, they're Welsh, and we're all like tribal people and clannish people. So he's got amazing stories about Peter O'Toole and Omar Sharif and John Rhys Davies and James Garner and these huge luminaries. And Michael is a luminary in and of himself, and I'm proud to be his friend. And I haven't worked with him yet, per se, although he's worked kind of undercover on some projects. I'll just leave it at that.
Well, Dan, let's just say this. The day will come. John Rhys Davies also played, he was in the Lord of the Rings trilogy. And then he also played within that Treebeard. So I was in India directing a film called One Night with a King, and we would spend a lot of time in pre-production just having a scotch on the portico or the veranda. And
so great.
I would be falling asleep from jet lag with Treebeard whispering poetry in my ear. But John Rhys Davies is an honor. I actually, when I was brought in to direct this film, even to audition to direct this film, which is the story of Esther from the Bible, Old Testament, they said, well, we've already hired a Mordecai. And I'm going, well, who have you hired? Because as a director, you kind of want to have a choice in these matters. And of course, Dan, one day that will lead to me hiring you as well. They showed me an Indian actor who was Hindu, and nothing wrong with the Hindu people. They're lovely people and all that. But I said, there's the top five famous Jewish guys in the Bible. Well, Jesus, Abraham, Moses, whatever. But Mordecai is like number five or number six. You're not going to get a Hindu guy to play Mordecai. They'll burn me at the stake. So he said, who do you want? Who do you want? I go, well, John Rhys Davies. And a couple of the producers did the old, victory fist in the air in the room. And we got John Rhys Davies to play the role. And at the very end, the producer said to me, so Michael, John Rhys Davies, famous Jewish guy, right? What tribe is he with? I go, oh, he's the missing Welsh tribe, you know?
Oh, that's funny.
That's awesome.
Always hire the best actor, you know?
Absolutely. We're going to do a short break. We'll be back. We'll have a few more minutes with our guests, Michael Seibel and Dan Davies. Tony the Trucker from the 608 says, Pete the Cheeto Messiah, particularly because of what is beneath the mop. I kind of expected a lot of Trump answers about the hair question. Hi, Peter and Conrad. Love your show. So down to earth, and you make it all so fun. That's John from Madison. Thank you, John. And he says, and so racy and illegal, too, because of Dan's potty mouth. But
did that get across?
No, no. We'll take it out of
Oh, dear Lord, I'm so sorry.
We'll send you the bill from the FCC. All right, we're coming right back to wrap it up here on Nightlight with Pete Schwabe on the Civic Media Radio Network. Back to Nightlight. We are in the home stretch here, folks. Dan Davies is here and director Michael Seibel. Dan is a local actor and the founder of the National Independent Film Association, and their awards are taking place this weekend. We'll be right back to the guys. We've got a couple texts here to get through. John Murray from Madison says, not sure what the question is about hair, but the answer probably is Dennis Rodman. Just saying, that's a good one. Thank you, John. Or maybe Grace Jones. That's a good one, too. Then John also said Omar Sharif, because Michael was talking about Omar Sharif and directing him. He says Omar Sharif was my mother's favorite actor ever. Dr. Zhivago was amazing. Well done, John. Thank you. Steady Eddie checking in says, he's in the 608. He says, there's this guy. He's a rising celebrity. He goes by the name of Pete Schwabe. Don't know if that is his real name. Yeah, that's the one I wanted a fake name, Steady Eddie, and I picked one I have to spell every time I'm on the phone with customer service. He says, don't know if that's his real name, but it's a great name for a comedian. Unlike Bon Jovi, Pete doesn't have to work on his haystack mop top for 2 hours to make it look messy and unkept. It happens honestly and organically. I must admit, it's working for Schwabe. Go with the flow, Pete. Most of the time, Pete's naturally semi-unkept hair looks pretty good, but occasionally on his really bad hair days, it has been said that Pete's Schwabadabadoo is better described as a Schwabadabba don't. Steady Eddie, that was
funny.
That was a book. That was awesome. Thank you, buddy. Are we good, Conrad? Did I get all the time?
Yeah.
All right, fantastic. Let's jump back into our interview with our pals, Dan Davies, who is here every so often, a very accomplished actor from Northeast Wisconsin here. So, Dan, you started this National Independent Film Association. This is great. You're back here again. You brought Michael Seibel, very accomplished director. It's great getting to know him as well. National Independent Film Association from Appleton. Why not, right? Are you getting the national attention you want with every year?
Yeah, our seventh year. This is our seventh year. We had over 200 submissions from over 20 countries.
Okay.
And it's been just amazing. The growth has been. And I'm a big believer in independent film, you know, and actually so is Michael. And and Michael's got this Western coming out, which is going to be amazing, which I'm really excited to see. But I've always been a fan of it, and I've always loved that by your bootstraps type of ideal when you go into filmmaking. And I've loved horror films, and with horror films, too, you can it lends itself well to the independent spirit, you know, low budget.
Michael, speaking of independent films, you've done what looked like some much bigger budget films. Dan just mentioned you've also done independent films. As a director, just speaking creatively, what do you prefer? I'm sure you will like the big budget for, you know, some freedom, but creatively, what gets you excited?
Well, I'm sure that I'm going to mangle this quote from Orson Welles, who directed Citizen Kane, that, you know, that art needs a bit of restraint. You need a schedule. You need a tight schedule. You need a tight budget in order to make you bring out your best creative decisions. Now, that was a very bad paraphrase, but... In essence, art needs a bit of a restraint.
Okay.
And because I think a lot, you're seeing a lot of Netflix films coming out by some prominent directors that are just landing flat because they were handed a checkbook and just go do what you want. And there wasn't the passion to it or whatever. And so a true art needs to have handcuffs on it. That's my quote.
Boy, that's a very interesting. I mean, I agree with you to a degree. I've been part of a script that was sold where it got ruined by too many cooks. And then I something independently that I loved. And I feel like these big time, like Harold Ramis, let's say, or the Farrelly brothers, especially when it comes to comedy, I trust the comedians more, I think, than I trust the people in suits, so to speak, for lack of, not that there aren't great ones, but I do agree with what you're saying too. Sometimes people go wild and it's just a train wreck.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, no, you got to have, you know, a lot of great cinema in general has come out of happy accidents, ad libs, all kinds of things like that. So, yeah.
Well said. So if people want to attend the National Independent Film Association Awards this weekend, Dan, how do they do it?
So tickets are still available. If they look under NIFA Awards, it's at the Appleton Beer Factory this Saturday at 7 p.m. You can come to the door and pick up tickets. Are very cheap. Nice. $15, and or you can order them online, NIFA-awards.org, NIFA-awards.org. And again, it's going to be a full 2 hours of seeing some great short films. We're actually going to be seeing one of Michael's first films from 1976.
Oh, fun.
We're re-premiering this film.
It's my UCLA film school thesis film, and just this past year, after years of wanting to do it, I had it completely restored back from the negative in the original Niagara tapes. And I had a team of editors and mix people and Emmy awarding mixers and all of that recreate the film to exactly the way it seemed to be. And it's only been shown once, and that's to a crowded theater at UCLA where I got straight A's in the class. And this will be the second time it's ever been shown publicly.
A 4.0. That's impressive.
Yep. So we'll have that.
That's awesome.
And a few other short films. And Michael will be awarded the NIFA Lifetime Achievement Award winner. And my shenanigans and shtick. And it's going to just be an amazing night, Saturday night.
NIFA, folks, is NIFA. So Google that and check it out. Dan always does a great job. Michael will be there. It sounds like a fun night. The key word one more time is beer. That's for you, Tom. B-E-E-R. And it's also compliments of Dan Davies, who likes to kick a few back once in a while. John Murray from Madison says, Steady Eddie is a freaking hoot. Nice work. I love when the listeners interact. Guys, this has been so much fun. Dan Davies,
thank
Michael
you,
Seibel, have a great time this weekend. And it was great talking with you guys tonight.
You bet, Pete. Thank you.
All right.
Thank you, Pete.
Tomorrow night, Vince Morano makes the popcorn pick of the week. Chicago-based comedian who is coming up here to do a show. We'll talk to Vince. And then our pal Rob Thomas, film critic from Madison, joins the show as well. More fun tomorrow night on Nightlight. On behalf of the lovable producer Conrad, I'm Pete Schwabe saying goodnight, Wisconsin.